Remembering John Lennon on the 25th anniversary of his murder, December 8th, 1980. On that day, Dr. Stephen Lynn was the head of the emergency room at Roosevelt Hospital in New York City. He had already put in a very, very, very long day and ended up being a part of history that night. He was the physician who had to handle John Lennon in the hospital that night, and by handle, I use that word literally. He joins me on the phone this afternoon here on KMOX. Doctor, thanks for doing the show today.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
So you had put in a long day, and you were actually on your way home, and what happened?
I was in the emergency department from 7 until 10:30. I went home. I sat down to watch the 11 o'clock news, and before the news started, the nurse called, said, Dr. Lynn, we have a gunshot wound, no vital signs, please come back. I raced out to the corner, got in a cab, and did come back. We didn't know who was coming in. Police brought the patient in that night, carried him into the trauma room, and we were ready for him.
And when he got in, was he surrounded by anybody besides Yoko?
Two police officers, and those were the only people that were there. Yoko Ono did not come in yet, and in fact, we were not 100% certain who this patient was. We didn't know who he was. What we knew was that he had no blood pressure, no pulse, he wasn't breathing, he was losing a tremendous amount of blood, and he had three wounds in his chest. We knew we had to act very quickly. We started an IV, we transfused blood, we actually did an operation in the emergency department to open his chest, look for a source of bleeding. We did cardiac massage. I literally held his heart in my hand and pumped his heart, but there was complete destruction of all the vessels leaving his heart. There was absolutely nothing that we could do to restore his life.
Was he what would be called dead on arrival?
He was dead on arrival. We tried our best for 25 minutes to give him whatever conceivable possible chance there was, but we did not succeed.
From a medical perspective, was Mark David Chapman a good shot?
Mark David Chapman was an amazingly good shot. All three of those bullets in the chest were perfectly placed. They destroyed all of the major blood vessels that took the blood out from the heart to all of the rest of the body, to the head, to the arms, to the legs. There was no way that circulation could take place in this man, and there was no way that anyone could fix it.
At what point did you realize or were you told that this was John Lennon?
Only after he came into the emergency department did we know. We took his wallet out of his pocket. The nurse immediately chuckled and said, this can't be John Lennon, because it didn't look anything like John Lennon in death. But, in fact, it was. And shortly thereafter, Yoko Ono came into the emergency department, and we were 100% certain who we had, John Lennon.
Are you the one who had to tell her?
After we were done, it was my job to walk down to the end of the hall. She was in a quiet room at the end of the hall with Dave. I walked in, and I told her. She did not accept that well. She screamed. She yelled. She said, it's not true. It can't be. You're lying. He's not dead. But then after yelling for 2 or 3 minutes, she sort of snapped out of it and said to me, Dr. Lynn, delay the announcement. My son is at home. I don't want him to hear about his father's death on TV. Give me 20 minutes to get home first.
And did you?
Of course we did. We helped her get out of the hospital. We tried to give her a side door through which she could exit on a quiet street in New York. But we forgot to note that she was driven to the hospital in a very large Rolls Royce. And when the Rolls Royce pulled up to the side door, hundreds of people accumulated. We literally had to send the police out to get her out the door. We did allow her to go home. And we made the announcement in the hospital lobby. I walked into a room with about 300 reporters, microphones, TV cameras pointing in my direction. And I said, John Lennon was brought to the Roosevelt Hospital shortly before 11 o'clock. He had three wounds to his chest. In spite of extensive resuscitative efforts, he was pronounced dead.
I'm just letting that announcement go on in the background. That's nothing you have to run off to, is it?
Not at all.
Okay, good.
I'm sitting on the Queen Mary II about to go on my vacation.
Oh, you are? I thought we were talking to you in a hospital somewhere, and you were...
that's not the emergency department.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I guess the buffet must be open.
Quite yet.
So you make the announcement to the assembled press, and by this point, word has also gotten out because an ABC TV producer named Stephen Weiss just happened to be in there, having had a motorcycle accident that night, and he had gotten the word over to the local ABC television station, and they had gotten it to Howard Cosell on the air on Monday Night Football. Was the hospital, and were you then besieged by Beatle fans?
There were several hundred Beatle fans in the ambulance entrance of the hospital before any announcement was made. The hospital was surrounded by people all night, 300 or 400 people. Eventually, most of them went up to John Lennon's home, the Dakota at 72nd and Central Park West, but the hospital was busy and surrounded with people all evening.
And did anybody come back to you later to have you tell your story for any book or other magazine stories? I mean, I know you've gotten a couple of things written about you this week, but was there anything after that?
After that, for 2 or 3 days, I spoke only to the press. I did almost nothing else, mostly print media at that time, but we did a tremendous amount of talking and explaining exactly what had happened. Yes, there was a lot of interest.
Now, I have to ask you this only because I'm honestly curious about this and not because I have a disgusting mind. I'm a big Beatles fan, and I've seen a lot of things show up on the internet in the last few years that are Beatle-related, some of them real, some of them fake. But even among the fake things, I've never seen anything show up in the Beatle memorabilia shows or on eBay and similar sites that say, this was the sheet used to cover John Lennon that night. This was the sponge used in the operation.
There's a reason for that.
What?
In the midst of talking to the nurses were crying, they were anxious, we needed to talk and figure out what we could say, I had to interrupt and say, staff, we have to make certain that every single sheet is sequestered. I want them all put in this laundry bag. We have to make certain that even your uniforms, if they have bloodstains on them, are not sold or given away. We took the medical record and put it in a sealed envelope and gave it to a high-level administrator. I think that record is still in a vault. We wanted to make certain that exactly what you were describing did not happen, and John Lennon's privacy would be protected.
Were all those things then destroyed?
Everything was destroyed. There is nothing left that could possibly fall into anyone's hands, the wrong hands or the right hands.
Were you a Beatle fan at the time, Doctor?
I was a neighbor to John Lennon. I knew John Lennon and Yoko Ono and their son Sean as my neighbors. I saw them in the Japanese restaurant on my corner quite frequently. They walked the streets. They were in Central Park. Their son Sean went to the same school, Ethical Culture School, that my daughter Rachel went to, and they contributed to the same charities in the community that I did. I knew them as neighbors and friends and participants in my community.
That must have been incredibly difficult for you to do that night then, knowing them that well.
It's always difficult to deal with a death. This was particularly difficult. I knew that that night I had played a very small part in history, and unfortunately a small part in the life of a very important man.
Doctor, I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me this afternoon. I hope you go off and have a very nice vacation now and can put all of these horrible memories out of your mind for just a little while. I know they've come flooding back this week and especially today. I thank you very much for sharing them with me this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Dr. Stephen Lynn, who was the emergency room physician, the head of the emergency room that night at Roosevelt Hospital in New York, the man who literally held John Lennon's heart in his hand. This is the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.